Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 2:59 p.m. Make that 3 p.m. On the 25th of November, 2020. I've got some more clips for you, and I think we're going to start out with Dr. Steve Pachinik.
We predicted it. We predicted it. Loveless told us they would do it. Now here we are. They said, count every vote. They're going to contest forever. Instead, they froze the election with media control in Democrat-controlled states and then discounted the Trump votes and put the fraudulent in with graphs that were organic but then went straight up. Everybody can see it. Experts have come out and said it's a fraud. The Washington Post is panicking, saying that whistleblowers are frauds, and the whistleblowers come out and say it's not true. We didn't say that. They are so desperate, Dr. Pachinik. Let me ask you these questions because you're an author, a researcher, you know, you've seen a lot of angles, State Department, all these different groups. From talking to your sources, your own research, what would you call this period in American history? Because it's not just a civil war, it's an outside power trying to control the country. And what do you expect to happen? I mean, is Trump going to win? I mean, obviously he's winning in reality. Tell people your weather forecast.
It's what I said years ago on your show. We did a sting operation on Hillary Clinton. She didn't succeed. We are allowing Biden to be president for 40 or 60 days, and it's over. December 14th, it will be over. The Electoral College will declare that Trump won. Trump will come back in. And this is a period of turbulence that would be expected in the Republic.
Is that why DeSantis is admitting he's getting ready with riot police to shoot looters?
Well, I'm not in the business at the local level to do what we did, but I did tell you we did send out National Guards and other paramilitary units to make sure that we didn't have massive riots and we wouldn't have a civil war. This is not a civil war. We're not going down as Abraham Lincoln did and slaughtered Southern, innocent Southern citizens for the Mississippi, Missouri, and New Orleans. What we're doing here is a proactive move that Trump explained years ago when he said vote hashtag cheat voters. He meant that he knew very well that our elections have been nothing more than a series of corrupt practices with the Bushes, both Clintons, with Obama twice, and now with Biden.
No, I agree. So what comes next and how do they respond? How do you see this unfolding?
What comes next is that Trump will declare that he is the president. Biden will withdraw because Biden will either have to file, be faced with prosecutorial indictments, serious ones, as well as those against his son. It was not an accident. We had brought up his son and Hunter Biden, as well as his two brothers. So the more Biden comes out, which is exactly what Trump wants him to do, the more he's basically self-destructing. It's like John Brennan.
I was
Brennan.
About to say, though, he is. I've never seen anyone in history this compromised. He is caught. This isn't like fables about Russia. They have the audio of them saying, me and my dad work for Chinese intelligence. I mean, this is like royal flush stuff.
So you explain it to me. How is a man who is so stupid, so incompetent, who has literally been in a position 47 years where he's done nothing except, as I said before, go to war in Iraq, Serbia, Syria, blah, blah, blah. He did nothing. Totally corrupt. Brothers are corrupt. Sons are corrupt. And he has the gall to say, I'm in charge now. I mean, it is beyond absurdity. So you can call this the theater of the absurd. But in reality, the man who's writing it, directing it, and producing it is Donald Trump, a genius. Trust me. This is not just now that I've seen it. I've seen him work for 30 to 40 years in New York, New Jersey, and all over the world. This is exactly how a genius works. He sets it up. He puts in the scam. He lets the people self-destruct. Notice Hillary Clinton hasn't said a word. She's basically, she knew she was on notice. But Biden didn't get the message, and he's right out there with Kamala Harris, whoever she is, what nonsense she portrays as an African-American woman. Her father was a professor emeritus at Stanford. We knew him. He was famous in economics.
Came out of she says Jamaica. She's poor girl on the street, so let's talk about this. Forget Dr. Steve Pachinik. Forget Dr. Steve Pachinik. Forget Alex Jones. Forget Donald Trump. Forget Hillary Clinton. Forget Joe Biden. They're saying he's president-elect when it's the state attorney generals and it's the legislatures that certify the vote. That hasn't happened unless someone capitulates and concedes. And so when CNN says, oh, no, he's president-elect, I could put up on screen as a media institution, say Alex Jones is president-elect. It's not true. So the fact that they're trying to gaslight us like this, what does this do to the mainstream media when this fails?
You hit it on the head, Alex. From the reason I always chose you is because I knew there was imminent death of the New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal. What you have here is basically the collapse of any notion of a centralized media or a media coming out of Washington, D.C. If you don't go to Project Veritas, you don't go to Alex Jones, you don't go to the social media lines where we know they're alternative media, you're not going to get the truth. And this is really what you see is the implosion of a system that never thought it would die. Fox News, ABC, MSNBC, all of them gone. Anderson Cooper twice was an intern at the CIA. You're telling me this is a naive, well-intentioned liberal? No way. He knew exactly what was going on. You have all of Jake Tapper wrote an incredible story about the outpost in Afghanistan military. He didn't know what was going on. Of course he knew what was going on. So this goes on and on and on. What you're seeing is a massive change in the media, in the schools. Now we're seeing what schools we need and what we don't need, universities. But for me,
You said a few years ago this in-school learning is about to be discredited. I don't like the big tech takeover, but at the same time, the very teacher unions are buying into this at-home learning and destroying themselves. They're all destroying themselves. How were they tricked into this?
Because when you're greedy, there are two elements, and you're hitting it on the head, Alex. Fear and self-aggrandizement and the notion that you don't have to take a risk are the two elements we don't foster in an entrepreneurial world, but we do foster with a pension. I can control any CIA operative or any military or any school teacher by simply saying the following: you don't want to do what? And then I'll handle your pension. I can handle the pension, handle their salary. So what happens in America, the people you see who are compromised, the school teachers, it's unfortunate. Their unions got them into bankruptcy. Moral,
financial. They're in a cult. They might be good people, but they're in a communist cult.
That's correct. I mean, here in Florida, they signed away all – think of this. They signed away all of their rights in 1968. How do you sign away your rights in 1968 when you're a teacher and you're supposed to be giving information to others? That's how stupid and that's how fearful we have a society. Every time you see somebody wearing a mask, that's fascism.
I was about to say, let's get into COVID because this morning you laid it on me. You haven't really said this, but just say it. Manufactured virus, fear weapon, Chi-Com Global Steel laid out.
Correct.
We got to go to break. Let's come back and hit that with Dr. Steve Pachinik. Right. StevePachinik.com. We're going to lay this out. I just looked at the clock. That wasn't a cliffhanger on purpose. I looked at the clock 20 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, this is epic stuff going down right now, and this is the battle for the Republic. And now you've got North Carolina, and you've got Alaska won by Trump, and the media is not even covering it. This is so historical. This is edge-of-your-seat stuff, and I'm just so glad and so blessed you kept us here on air. We got loaded phones, too. Jay Dyer is coming up, and after Pachinik leaves us, I will take all these calls from Dennis, Kurt, Kathy, and many others. Stay with us. Infowars.com. Tomorrow's news today. All I know is this. It makes me physically sick. Not the psychic energy of the socialists and the communists, but the American people are so angry. I'm tied into them. I feel physically sick. And I'm concerned because America is not going to accept the globalist takeover. They're not going to accept the Chi-Coms. They're not going to accept Hollywood. And I don't get why, if the globalists have conquered America already, why they want to piss on it instead of grow it. It'd be one thing if the globalists just took over and like were into freedom. They're not. They're into everything sick. They're self-destructive, and they want us to be destructive with them. And it's not going to happen. So I just want to tell Joe Biden and whoever the hell is handling him and all these people. Notice even Xi Jinping and Putin won't say Trump's lost. They get this is insane. The Mexican president had an election stolen from him. He's a socialist. He's supporting Trump because they recognize this. Dr. Pachinik, in the 9 minutes we have left, you've got the floor at other points, but just big picture historically and what we the people can do to make sure that this election's clean. Obviously, Trump won. How we get President Trump in to truly keep America great.
I think what's important is to, one, understand the Constitution and the fact that we're a republic. We can tolerate these kinds of upheavals. This is part of what a republic is about. We're not a democracy. That means our founding fathers understood very clearly that every person could not vote directly, otherwise we would have the French Revolution. We do not have a French Revolution. What we do have is an upheaval here where for 40 years since 9/11 and even before that, we brought in an individual who's never been part of the system. Remember that. This is the first time we brought in a businessman. And this is the first time in decades where a businessman said, this is not correct. We're not going to work in a system that's totally corrupt, run by two parties, which in fact are not two parties, but totally involved with each other. There was no sense that we're choosing either Republican or Democrat. He then appointed all kinds of individuals who were individualists. Look at Richard Grenell. Look at Pam Bondi. These are not people who were part of the system. They came into the system and they're fighting. I didn't get picked, but I understood what was happening. And basically, I was given, let's say, some permission to say what was going on. Whether I'm right or wrong is to be proven. But I happen to be very clear in my message. Trump will win. I would ask the people of America just to stay calm. Do what you're doing. Go to work. Let's get the economy back again. I want all the small businesses to come up again. This notion of the pandemic is nonsense.
Oh, that's right. Wearing we hit the break. Nonsense. Get into the pandemic fraud. As a medical doctor, explain people what's really going on.
Well, the medical fraud that you had a coronavirus and you're going to die, it's absolutely absurd. What you die from usually is what we call a comorbidity. So when you hear on the news that an 18-year-old individual died from coronavirus, that's not what happened. Usually that individual had high blood pressure, diabetes, and other concerns. The biggest concern we have in medicine in the United States, close to 100 million people are fat, obese. And if you look around, you will notice that that's the biggest epidemic we have. The biggest epidemic of infectious disease we conquered, that was polio. And Sabin went to the Soviet Union. He took out the blood of people who were affected by polio and then transmitted it back into our bloodlines. That's what needs to be accounted for now. We're not doing that. Fauci is a disaster. CDC is a disaster. mRNA and AstraZeneca, that's absolute nonsense. Monoclonal antibodies, mRNA, will dissolve very quickly. They're not effective vaccines.
Oh, anyway, you said that 8 months ago. They now admit it doesn't even give you real immunity, so we can, quote, never leave our houses again. And the head of the Davos Group says it's about a carbon tax and locking us down. They now admit it's about being prisoners. This is insane.
Well, you know, remember, we're an alternative media. There's no reason for anybody to believe me or believe you. We don't really make a living out of this, but the people in the big pharmaceuticals, what we call, they create what's called a pump and dump. In other words, they make believe they have something, they have absolutely nothing, and then they dump their money. And honestly, when this is over, I think Trump should start going after all these big companies and break them apart. And they've been out of control, particularly in the pharmaceutical business. And we know exactly who they are. More importantly, the coronavirus. You listen to a George Carlin video. I grew up in New York. The more exposed you are to pathogens, to infections, to dirt, the better your immunity system. Nowhere in our theory do you put away an innocent or a non-infectious individual into a house. That's not heard of. That's nonsense. And so what's happening is we created a whole fear. This administration, along with the Bidens, created an entire fear. Trump understood that. He's backtracking on it. Fauci will leave. CDC will leave, HHS will be taken down, and this will be all part of the cleaning action. It's time for you to go outside. You're not going to die. And we have to stop giving $35,000 to every stupid hospital that claims somebody died of coronavirus when, in fact, there was comorbidity, meaning there are other people.
Well, that's probably a good place to stop. Love to hear this guy, Dr. Steve Pachinik, and you can go out to band.video and watch it yourself if you like. Next clip here is David Icke. I know a lot of people will have a lot of bad things to say about David, but I still think he has some very, very important information. Here we go.
But what they do is they take a tiny piece of genetic material, tiny, and they amplify it through this test. Basically, they bring out more and more of the genetic contents. And the more they amplify it, the more the test is going to ping positive for that elements of that genetic material, which everyone has in their bodies. As one doctor said, if you amplify the PCR test enough, everyone will eventually test positive. So what they've been doing is amplifying and amplifying this test. Even Fauci, and he was wrong about this as well, but let's just take what he said. He said some time back that if you go over 30, 35 cycles of amplification, the PCR test is basically a waste of time because it's picking up so much stuff, which is not that which you're looking for, that it's useless. The National Health Service in Britain and many other countries are using 45 cycles of amplification. So they're getting all these pinging positive tests, they're calling cases, which they're using to justify more and more fascism.
And isn't it funny that all the real scientists, the former head of Pfizer and others, say it's a fraud and they get censored? Yeah. This is a very dangerous game. It's very, very, very reckless to say, oh, the deaths are way down, but everybody's got COVID. You're infected. Yeah. You're all suspect. I mean, this doesn't hold together under any inspection.
It's incredible. I mean, I've talked to 35,000, 40,000 people and then thousands more in Birmingham over the last few weeks. And I must have hugged hundreds of people.
Oh, I was in a crowd of 500,000 people, other crowds of thousands. Absolutely. I mean, boy, I'm sure not getting sick. What the hell's going on here?
I'm 68. Why haven't I got it? It's ridiculous. But what I was saying about the test is in the relation to this vaccine. So if the more you amplify the test, the more positive cases you get, when you start vaccinating people, which is not a vaccine for a coronavirus, they've never found a vaccine for a coronavirus. But when you start vaccinating them and testing them, then you wind back the amplification and it will give the appearance that the vaccine is working. When all you're doing is
exactly, they've scripted themselves as the heroes, and we have Bill Gates bragging a few months ago that he's making all these giant profits off the vaccines. This is completely transparent. Let me ask you this then. It's not just the lockdowns. It's not just the computer codes. It's not just the tracking. It's not just the global IDs. They want to put stuff in these vaccines. Gates has been caught a lot doing this. What are they putting in the vaccines, the classic vaccines versus the mRNA vaccine?
Well, first of all, these vaccines are DNA manipulators and cellular manipulators. That's very clear from the process that they use. But you see, to see the bigger picture, they want to transform the human body. I mean, here's Schwab talking about it, this fusion, and this fused human AI entity, which won't be human as we know human, needs a different genetic form for that to happen in the way they want. So we'll call that human 2.0. That's what they want, and it's moving from the biological to the synthetic biological, which is why synthetic biology has become this exploding discipline in science in recent years. More and more it moves forward. And at the same time, they want rid of this, the biological human that we've known. So you put those two together, And as I was saying earlier, just take a breath, anyone that's still skeptical about this. I say there's no virus, so there's no point in a vaccine. But let's just take the manipulated figures and take them on face value. This is not a deadly virus for the overwhelming majority of people. It's not. So why does Gates and all these countries, centrally coordinated, say that every man, woman, and child must be vaccinated? They want to move towards mandatory vaccines so no one is out of the loop. Why would they do that for a virus, even if you believe in its existence, that is so undeadly?
Because they want the precedent set to put in your body what they want when they want.
Exactly. So, and why they want to do it is two things. One, there's going to be a sterilization agent because they want an end to the procreation of this form. And so this is why you have sperm counts dramatically falling around the world, particularly in the Western world, to the point, I don't quote CNN very often, but let's make an exception. I read an article on CNN in which they were talking about sperm counts plummeting. And there was a quote in there that if sperm was an animal species, we'd be talking about its extinction. And it's dropped very, very rapidly. This is all the stuff.
Hour two minutes away. DavidIke.com. I'm Alex Jones. David Icke's our guest. This is a short segment, long segment coming up. I'm Alex Jones, your host. I'll ask him about the Georgia Guidestones and the fresh attention they're getting in the next segment. But you were cut off getting into the real numbers are even lower for COVID. Probably doesn't even exist other than a synthetic simulant they own out of Wuhan so they can patent it and say everybody's infected. They want their own numbers. It's like 0.000, 17 people died in Australia. I mean, they say there's one case that'll lock the whole country down. This is unprecedented power grab. Please continue, David Icke.
Well, the SARS-CoV-2 virus has never been isolated and shown to exist. Simple fact. There's no scientific paper on planet Earth that's appeared since it's apparently started in China that has shown the virus to exist through isolating it and isolating its genetic code. There was an article posted on the CDC website, which was by virologists, and they were talking about the virus. And a doctor, American doctor, called Dr. Tom Cowan, did an analysis of this article, and it was superb, and it was supporting the nonsense that we've been talking about since March. And this is how it went. This article said they had found 37 fragments of this virus, 37. Its full genome is supposed to have 30,000. And what they did was then put it through computer programs to fill in the gaps. And so they put it through different computer programs, and they got different filled-in gaps. So then they have a vote over which of the filled-in gap computer programs is the one they should go with. And Cowan described it brilliantly. He said it's like this. You find a fragment of a hoof, a hair from a tail, and a fragment of a horn, and you put it through a computer program, and the computer program tells you it's a unicorn. A unicorn that no one's ever seen. And it's all been filled in through.
Exactly. It's all done by how they program it, and they even admit that. It's all fraud. They agree. Microsoft agrees. Why is Bill Gates, I know you say he's a puppet at one level, but why the hell is he now in everywhere? I know Boris Johnson announced that Bill Gates will actually be the shadow commander of the G7 now that the UK is going to have the rotating post. I mean, Gates is like everywhere.
Well, it works like this. We have this global cult, which has the spider in the shadows that is directing through the web, through secret societies, semi-secret groups, organizations like the Bilderberg Group. Schwab was on the steering committee of the Bilderberg Group, by the way. And it plays out into the public arena through governments and government agencies and banking systems and corporations and Silicon Valley and so on. So you've got the spider, and the spider dictates its personnel. And when you look at Gates, he's been brought forward for a very long time to be a front man for the cult. That's what he is. That's why he's in the position he is. And they have this system, Soros is another one, whereby when you are a front man for the cult, you can get very, very rich doing it, not least because they give you technology out of the underground bases. They've got to get this technology. All this technology, building this smart grid, is coming out the underground bases. But they need a cover story to get it out of there and into the public arena. So they have all these front people and front corporations that say, oh, yeah, we've just discovered something new. Well, you haven't. It's come out of the underground bases. Notice that as this technology plays out, there's never a period where people are sitting around a table, strumming their fingers, waiting for some geek in Silicon Valley to invent the next level of what they need. It just flows out one after the other because it's being coming out of the underground bases and the secret project.
David, you're totally right. My dad in the 60s was at UT in like some secretive programs, and they already had CD-ROMs 20 years before they supposedly came out. I mean, it's just all being handed out. Who's behind it? Who's at the center of the web? Lynn Wood, the big lawyer, has reportedly got videos of them shredding ballots in Georgia. We'll cover that next hour. This election is being stolen from the American people by the globalist candidate, Joe Biden. We've got David Icke with us on fire, predicted the whole lockdown, the whole new world order, the upping of the test where everybody's positive. Now I read the headlines. Checkpoints in New York, checkpoints in California, checkpoints in Australia. They say they're going to drag people away to COVID facilities. My God, I mean, this is the point of resistance that we're really reaching. David Icke, DavidIcke.com, bestselling author. People can follow his information at DavidIcke.com. Again, I'm Alex Jones. If you just tuned in, we're to the third hour of the global transmission right now. Center of the web, the spider. I know you explained it's energy, it's off-world, it's anti-human. The Bible says that. Every ancient culture says that. But all of this is moving ahead so quickly now. How do we resist it? What do we say? What do we do? And what are you predicting is coming next? Then I want to ask you about people like Bill Gates and like the James Bond villain, Klaus Schwab. Again, why they're being so public about it.
If I could just pick up on Gates from what I said just before the break, they get phenomenally rich by being frontmen for this whole thing. But there's always a rider, and that is that you have to take vast amounts of the wealth that you accrue by being one of their frontmen, and you have to spend it on advancing the agenda under the guise behind the smokescreen of philanthropy. This is how it works. This is the Rockefeller Foundation, and it's the Gates Foundation. So, my last book came out this year, The Answer, which was 80% written before the lockdowns kicked in and all this stuff started, had so many mentions of Bill Gates in the first 80% of the book for all the areas of the Great Reset, we now call it, that he was funding through the...
Wow, I know these are some really long. I spent probably too much time on clips today. That was David Icke. You can look at these for yourself at band.video. I think I'm going to switch over to the Meyer material now and pick up with something that I was talking about last show, which is called The Mirror of the Soul, which refers to the subconscious. So we have a material consciousness that has our personality, it has our conscious mind, it has our subconscious and our unconsciousness. And our subconscious is sometimes called the mirror to the soul because it has the norms and the value definitions impulsations, feelings, emotions, intentions, wishes, expectations, attitudes, etc., etc. Dreams play a role in all this. And Goblet of Truth, chapter 8, verse 13, talks about the pictures, which are the dreams in our sleep, are like water or rain that falls out of the clouds, so that we might be cleansed of these unprocessed things in our inner world, our consciousness, and our subconsciousness. So the dreams that we have in our sleep, they're a lot like rain in the sense that they're cleaning. They're cleaning our inner world. It's like the rain that falls down out of the clouds. It's a cleansing kind of thing that goes on. So our feelings grow out of our thoughts, and the feelings can be very powerful. We also have something called the unconscious, which is something like a secretary. It's like a clerical assistant to a degree. The unconscious, the conscious and the unconsciousness work together in some ways. The unconsciousness sometimes is very autonomous, and it sorts impulses and perceptions. It's almost like a pre-processing that takes place. So how does the unconscious mind affect us? Number one, we can be deceivers of ourselves. And there's a guy named Reinhold Schmidt who was deceived by the Giza intelligences. And if the Giza intelligences, again, are no longer on the earth anymore, they used to be, had a headquarters underneath the Great Pyramid. They came from another world. Somehow they got these giant ships down there. Billy was able to go down there with Asket, his second contact, and he saw all of these great ships in this hallway, and he saw how religion was being used by the Giza intelligences. So, in Asket's explanation, part 1, line 202, it states, "Thereby such an earth human will become an unconscious deceiver of himself and of all those who believe his explanations." Asket also said, for example, that George Adamski was lying about his experiences. Asket, in describing George Adamski, said that he carried out various deceitful manipulations quite consciously, whereas Reinhold Schmidt was deceived by the Giza intelligences, and he was deceived himself. Now, I know a lot of people are very... are big fans of George Adamski. And I was too for a long time, but I think the Meyer material has pretty much convinced me that he wasn't on, wasn't really telling the truth. I'd have to say I'm not sure absolutely, but let me pause just for a second. You guys won't notice anything, and then we'll get back on the show. Sorry about that. Oh, here we go. Sorry about that. I had something I just had to take care of. I'm so glad I've got a little pause on this recorder. It really helps. Anyway, we were talking about the Giza intelligences. We were talking about how the unconscious mind can affect us, and that there was this guy named Reinhold Schmidt who was deceived by these extraterrestrial Giza intelligences, and how George Adamski, on the other hand, was consciously aware that he was lying, according to Meyer material. And I give a lot of credit to the Meyer material, even though I bring up other sources of information, which seems to bother some people very much and others not so much at all. The unconscious mind can affect the human body. And it's talked about in Figure Bulletin 3. And they talked about the stigmatizations. And these are people who are very religious, who have like a religious delusions, and it's so intense and so powerful, and this is how powerful the mind is. They actually create these things on their body that bleed and scars appear and crosses appear and all this very bizarre stuff. So it's religious delusion which can be transferred even into the unconscious mind. So again, these wounds appear on people which are induced partially from unconscious processes. See, the unconscious is very, very powerful. And I guess that's where the power of the thoughts really is. A lot of it is unconscious. I'm just going to write down unconscious for just a second. A lot of power in the unconscious, power in the unconscious. So it's the same kind of thing that happens sometimes with alien abductions. They're really more from the subconscious. It's okay. Figu Bulletin 7 talks about wounds from alleged ET examinations that are actually produced by people's unconscious minds. Bulletin 7 states such individuals produce these wounds unconsciously through their mental powers, when their brains are exposed to the large subconsciousness composite of a particular human mass. If I can find this bulletin, I may try to read a little bit of this. Okay, here we go. I'll read a little bit of this. The origin of such wound marks, which actually look like small puncture wounds, can usually be retrace to a person's self-inflicted injury, unless they are indeed extremely rare, extraterrestrially inflicted examination marks. Such individuals produce these wounds unconsciously through their own mental powers. When their brains are exposed to the large subconscious composite of a particular human mass, consciously or unconsciously, they live with the phobias, fears to be subjected to extraterrestrial abductions, simple examination contacts, or similar self-induced fears. As a rule, individuals with such conscious or unconscious phobias are not obtuse, unintelligent, or consciousness impaired. Indeed, they tend to be completely normal people with a lucid consciousness. They do, however, lack certain psychic strengths and mental powers. And for this reason, they are easily influenced in these matters by subconscious vibrations from their fellow human beings. Through the collective subconsciousness, they absorb pseudo-experiences, thoughts, feelings, images, and similar vibrational emissions from other people, and assimilate them into their own subconscious. Consequently, they are able to administer these unaccountable wounds and other markings to their bodies. Thereupon, and for lack of better explanation, these wounds and markings are frequently attributed to extraterrestrial forces, because these individuals have read and heard about extraterrestrial examinations and abductions of humans, where they themselves may have experienced such pseudo-events in a dream or in a sleep paralysis. These unconsciously generated and directed fantasies also play a vital role regarding a label psyche and mentality, When individuals subconsciously inflict marks or wounds on their own bodies and thereby produce pseudo experiences in their minds. So, you know, very interesting stuff. Bulletin 7 from Figure Bulletin. One of the most shocking cases of a person that produced the stigmata came from a person named Teresa Newman, who lived in a village in Bavaria called Konnersreuth, Germany. And you could actually see blood flowing from the woman's eyes as she sits in her bed in a trance. And this is a testimony of the incredible power of the human mind. This woman would bleed on most Fridays. She was also said to have survived for years only on little wafers used in the communion. And strangely, she would speak in Aramaic at some times. And I thought I had some pictures of this woman bleeding, maybe on another page somewhere. Crazy stuff. Feelings. What are feelings? Feelings grow from the thoughts. Feelings make our life more bearable. Feelings also summarize things, which is quite interesting. They simplify things. So instead of assaulting your mind with all this information all at once, the psyche creates a memory of a feeling. And the feelings enable quick processing of external stimuli. They make life easier and more bearable. Also, the feelings deliver power to the psyche. Remember, the psyche is the part of the material consciousness that controls, looks after, administers our thoughts and feelings. And the feelings tend to manifest slowly, where the emotions rise up quickly. A lot of times emotions are destructive. Even a negative thought and a feeling can be evolutive and healthy. It's hard to determine which of these thoughts that are negative are healthy. I've been trying to figure that out myself. I think the thoughts that are negative that can be healthy, they tend to not make you confused. They tend to, sometimes, you know, a negative feeling could motivate you to, like, you know, run to save your life, or, you know, go get to work on some very important project, but it could be a negative feeling that got you kind of started in that direction. So it's good not to throw out all negative feelings, because some are actually evolutive. Now the problem is once we go negative, we tend to stay negative, and we rotate negative thoughts, and we have to break out of that horrible habit. So let me read a little bit about this kind of thing. With all of it, the human being must be conscious that not only positive thoughts and feelings are productive, rather also negative ones. Which is why the erroneous opinion of certain positive thinkers and positive writers must therefore never be held and accepted. That solely positive thoughts and feelings are life-affirming and evolutive. Truthfully, negative thoughts and feelings, which emerge in conscious, uncontrollable form as well as an unconscious, uncontrollable form, are just as necessary to life as are the positive ones. Whether the arising thoughts and feelings are of anxiety, fear, of joy or sadness, rage and fury, disgust or attraction, of sympathy or antipathy, or of courage or cowardice, they all correspond to those human basic feelings and the preceding conscious or unconscious thoughts, which for the human being are important for survival. This is a fact with which the eminent authorities of positive thinking unfortunately do not come to grips, because they do not understand that for the human being, negative thoughts and feelings are also of enormous life-supporting and life-preserving significance. So we can't throw out all the negative thoughts and negative feelings. Some of them are evolutive. I would say if a negative thought becomes compulsive, it's probably a bad negative thought. In other words, if it's something that you cycle over and over and over and over again, it's probably a bad negative thought. It's probably more on to the level of the Asartung area where it's out of control. So in that case, you want to stop that thought. You want to put your mind on something neutral, on your wish dream, on something, you know, that's fun, relaxing, and break out of that negativity. Also, if it causes confusion, that's another sign I think you can look at that something is not healthy there. Negative thoughts, which are asartungin, must be neutralized, which can happen, for example, through a diversion from them by means of neutral thought material. But this does not mean that normal negative thoughts, which are important to life, are also combated. It is therefore wrong to fight the normal, healthy negative thoughts and feelings. So we can really have normal, healthy negative thoughts and feelings. I'm starting to get where I can start to see a little bit of the difference. There are some kind of negative thoughts that will motivate you to strive, that will motivate you to take care of a problem that exists in your life. So there is not complete, all the negative thoughts and feelings aren't always bad. Some are actually evolutive. A large number of such unconscious processes operate daily in the human beings and generate feelings, often also unconscious, of which the human being does not know the origin. And that I notice a lot, especially when you're just waking up and you started getting these feelings about, or they, it may have been a feeling, you know, if you woke up in the middle of the night and you went to the restroom or something, you came back to bed and you were slowly going back to sleep, and then your mind went again on some topic that maybe produced a bit of a negative feeling, a negative thought. So you can be conscious of those kind of things, but not really completely conscious of the whole thing. You probably just get a little bit that percolates up into the conscious mind. And since these unconscious processes of thoughts and feelings, as well as the effect on the psyche, are not known to psychiatrists and psychoanalysts and so forth, they are simply contested or called into question. That is equally so with the fact that exclusively the thoughts are able to form feelings. The effective fact is that feelings can only be created through conscious or unconscious thoughts. And this is not only under pronounced most favorable conditions, rather it is also in any case. So, feelings can only be created through conscious or unconscious thoughts. It is therefore in no way the case, as is asserted by the unknowledgeable psychiatrists and psychoanalysts, that thoughts and language only co-stimulate the feelings in certain minimal ways. And since it is a fact that exclusively conscious or unconscious thinking is responsible for the creation of the feelings, it is also clear that volitionally implemented, neutral, positive, equalized, balanced thoughts are able to fundamentally influence and change the state of the feelings. Consequently, this corresponds to mere wishful thinking, to no mere wishful thinking, nor to misjudging of reality, as is claimed by example by the psychiatrist Dr. Gunther Scheich, who in this sense believes that he must take human beings for a ride and mislead them with erroneous assertions which run counter to the truth. Thoughts create feelings, and these feelings influence the psyche, whereby in turn feedback to the consciousness is triggered, And with that, further thoughts. If the thoughts are of a conscious nature, then the feelings also arise in this form. If the thoughts are of a conscious, this certainly should be clear. However, if the thoughts are of an unconscious nature, triggered by unconscious perceptions of some sort, and by an unconscious recognition, then often the feelings also function in this form. Amazing stuff. What a book. What an amazing, amazing book, The Might of Thoughts. I love this book. It's been so helpful, and I've certainly spent a lot of time on it. Well, maybe we'll call it quits there. I think I ran a little long on the clips. Some days I do. There's so much more I want to talk a little bit about some stuff in The Way to Live. Maybe we'll just wait for that for another day. I appreciate everyone that's been listening and tuning in to the shows. And I know some of you are critical and some of you are not so critical, but that's okay. I appreciate all feedback. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and have a great day.